I want to take a moment today to lament the loss of my good friend, Dennis Rogers. Dennis was a columnist for the local paper for 31 years before his retirement. He grew up with me in our hometown of Wilson. His early life, like my own, was plagued by poverty and family dysfunction. His grandmother raised him, and they lived hand to mouth. Dennis joined the military for the same reason I did. We needed to grow up with greater horizons than our small town offered. I will miss this kind man and wish him Godspeed to heaven and a reunion with Grandma. It's time to let the past be the past in America. None of us can change history. None of us living today are responsible for slavery or any other evil from the past. The calls for reparations have no ending. Am I due reparations from the offspring of those invaders who ravaged the English countryside where my ancestors lived? We see the riots, the looting, the burning going on today. Many people have lost their businesses and life savings due to these riots. Some lost their lives. At some point in the future, are reparations to the descendants of those damaged people to be demanded from the descendants of today's rioters? And if not, why not? I share credit for today's commentary with Andy Ngoe of the New York Post, Quinn Hillier of the Washington Examiner, and the Boston Herald, and Zachary Stieber of Epoch Times for their research and contribution. It is very difficult for the average, ordinary American to understand what's happened to our country in these days of turmoil and chaos. Where did these liberal idiots come from? Who raised them without discipline or moral character? These liberals, primarily aged 18 to 34, make the most outrageous statements and promote the most outlandish causes. In a recent protest rally for affordable housing, the protesters carried signs proclaiming that housing was a right and advocated free rent. How ignorant is that? That dwelling belongs to somebody else. It was built or purchased by the owner. The dwelling did not fall off a turnip truck. It was either built or purchased by someone who had worked to get the money to provide the housing for others, renters. Why should they be required to make their monthly mortgage payments on the house, pay the taxes for it, and let you live in it for free? Although it's hard to imagine somebody being that ignorant, the protesters were deadly serious. Take a good look at the protest groups and you'll find a combination of naive college-age snowflakes and paid anarchists who march along, many of them with evil intentions. The snowflakes are oblivious to the rabble marching with them. In the case of the Black Lives Matter protesters, there are a few well-meaning black people who actually believe that the protests are about the plight of black people, when in fact they are well-orchestrated mob activities designed to undermine our country. Black Lives Matter is an organization that rakes in hundreds of millions of dollars from liberal donors and naive corporate heads. None of that money goes to help black people. 71% of it goes into the pockets of the organizers as salary, and another large percentage goes to pay for perks and benefits. Black Lives Matter is not a spontaneous group of America's poor black people. It is a well-organized and highly profitable mob determined to bring socialism to this country. It is incomprehensible that rioting mobs would be allowed to operate in America. First, the liberal mayor of Seattle allowed a violent mob to take over several blocks of downtown and proclaim it their territory. They proceeded to riot, loot, and burn downtown Seattle. Many stores were destroyed, others ransacked, as the mayor sat on her assets and refused to let the police quell the riots. It was only after shooting deaths within the captured compound that the mayor finally decided the police could do their job. Actually, her decision came just after the rioters visited her own home. Seeing the success of the rioters in Seattle, other cities saw themselves under siege from anarchists. At the end of May, rioting and looting broke out in Portland, Oregon, as had been the case in dozens of other American cities in response to the police-involved death of a man named George Floyd. In just one night, hundreds of rioters ravaged downtown, breaking into jewelry stores, the mall, liquor stores, and banks. They left a trail of broken windows and fires in their wake. That was more than 2 months ago. About three. And while violent protests have ebbed or stopped everywhere else, it has continued and grown stronger in Portland. For more than 2 months, almost three, mass protests and riots have taken over parts of that city. Some Portland streets and areas are literally no-go zones at night, either blocked by fires or teams of anarchist guards. Day after day, hundreds and even thousands take to the streets and claim territory as theirs. They cycle through a number of chants like, "All cops are bastards," and "F the police." A large number of them participate in violent criminal acts, such as arson and assault. They've made it a game to lure law enforcement officers out of buildings so they can assault them with blinding lasers, paint, rocks, brick, fireworks, and other weapons. Those who don't engage in direct violence cheer them on, assist in de-arresting comrades, and act as cop watchers. Rioters try and have succeeded in breaking into Portland police facilities. At one point, they focused their attacks on the federal Mark Hatfield U.S. courthouse in response to the Department of Homeland Security sending in reinforcements in early July. Their attitude is, "How dare you try and stop our destruction?" Besides that violence and anarchy, what exactly do these rioters want? As witnessed in the former autonomous zone in Seattle, the far-left movement in Portland has no declared leaders. Social media is used to decide when and where to meet, but rarely what the goal is. One faction or person may make a statement, only to have it contradicted by another person. How can all this be happening, you ask? Why do the police not put a stop to it? Just as in Seattle, Portland has a young, liberal mayor who has tied the hands of the police. These liberal mayors always believe that they can appease the mobs. Mayor Ted Wheeler tried to do that by speaking at one of the protests. He was heckled by the crowd, and a group projected a list of demands on the front of the Justice Center. Mocking their naive liberal mayor, they presented him with a list of their demands. It called for defunding the Portland Police Bureau by at least 50%, freeing all protesters from jail, kicking federal law enforcement out, and the resignation of the mayor himself. What a great concept, a city without law enforcement, at the mercy of violent mobs. Despite the radical demands, some took relief because it seemed to mean there was something to negotiate on, a possible path to ending more than 2 months of violent protests. But the Youth Liberation Front, who led the crowd in shouting expletives at the mayor, didn't agree. "What is this defund at least 50%, they said. "We want to completely abolish the police here." They quickly tweeted that out, and that's what people need to know about Antifa. They don't make demands because they want to work within the system. Their unambiguous goal is to destroy all American institutions and then the country itself. When they spray paint or shout, "Burn it down," that's exactly what they mean. The Antifa ideology, propagated in extremist magazines, booklets, and websites, say the United States is so fundamentally wicked that no amount of reform can fix it. It must be abolished. They see law enforcement and military as the bulwark between them and their goal. The daily riots function to drain the city of resources and to weaken the morale of law enforcement and public officials, and it is obviously working. In June, Mayor Wheeler disbanded the Gun Violence Reduction Unit, claiming it was unfairly targeting blacks. In the weeks since, there has been more than a 380% increase in shootings compared with the same time frame last year. Liberal city councilwoman Joanne Hardesty has taken police hatred even further. She told Marie Claire magazine, quote, "I believe Portland police are lying about the damage or starting the fires themselves so that they have justification for attacking community members," end quote. She partially walked back that accusation after Portland Police Chief Chuck Lavelle, who is black, asked for evidence of the claim. She had none. Even before the protests started, they were dealing with a catastrophically short-staffed police bureau, said Daryl Turner, president of the Portland Police Association. Going back to 2016, city leaders in Portland and Antifa sympathetic activists have worked to denounce police at every opportunity. The anti-police sentiment in Portland has led to early retirements and a policing philosophy of de-escalation, where cops mostly stay away from riots. Just this year, the Bureau has had 3 different police chiefs. "We're at a point where none of us know what to do," said a Portland police officer. "Some are thinking we just need to give the local minority and the politicians what they want. Just go away and let the city burn." Did you ever think you'd live to see a time in America where this could happen? The best way to lose your house to termites is to get rid of their exterminator. Our problem is that the rational people among us hope for the best and allow the irrational people to take over. I appreciate each one of you who listens to my weekly commentaries and nod your head in agreement. But that does little to solve our problems if we only nod and go on quietly observing the destruction of our country without taking a stand. But what can I do, you might ask? You can speak up, write letters to your newspaper and television stations, establish contact with your local, state, and federal officials and members of Congress. Make your voice heard and vote your convictions. Vote these liberal atrocities out of office. Unlike Antifa and other anarchist groups, we conservatives, with extremely rare exceptions, don't take to the streets and meet chaos with chaos. But that does not mean we cannot effectively fight those who are trying to destroy our way of life. In a free society with ample representative, it means to correct systemic errors. There is never an excuse for mob rule. The United States, even with flaws, is such a nation. Mere mobs on one side and bullies on the other must always be opposed. Always. That's why, as sickeningly horrendous as was George Floyd's death in Minneapolis, there is no excuse, none at all, for the horrific riots, looting, and burning in response. Police have not just the right, but the duty to quash these riots forcefully. Frankly, the police should, in my opinion, be allowed to use equal force against rioters. If confronted by destructive laser beams which can permanently blind a cop, bricks thrown that can maim or kill, commercial-grade fireworks to injure, or any other deadly weapon, the police should be allowed to use equal force. In some cases, that might call for lethal force, and so be it. When they are under attack, it is foolish to suggest that the police hands be tied. I don't fear injury from the police when confronting a mob, because I will never be part of that mob. This, of course, comes with a caveat. Even in response to riots that harm innocent people and property, police should use the least forceful means necessary to stop the looting, arson, and violence. The key word, though, is necessary. Police must be allowed to use enough force to get the job done. If that means tear gas, so be it. If it means pepper spray or water cannons, so be it. Whatever lawful tactics it takes, the rule of law and the rights of innocence must be preserved against the anarchy of a violent mob. It has become routine for these violent rioters to set fires to federal courthouses and attempt to breach their doors to destroy inside. A Department of Homeland Security report in July described the chaos. Rioters were able to tear down an entire panel of plywood protecting the building and proceeded to use part of the city's abandoned fence from the park to attempt to block federal officials from exiting the building. When officers did leave the building in response, rioters responded by firing commercial-grade fireworks at those officers. This timeline of events has become the norm. When officers eventually come out of the federal buildings and make arrests, many in the media make pronouncements of stormtrooper tactics being employed, and another such wild classification. Sadly, most politicians are being equally responsible. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Representative Earl Blumenauer of Portland issued a statement reading in part, quote, "We are again reminded of the immense power of peaceful protest in the fight against racial injustice and police brutality," end quote. The Trump administration shows its lack of respect for the dignity and First Amendment rights of all Americans. Now, videos show federal officers kidnapping protesters, they say, in unmarked cars in Portland, all with the goal of inflaming tensions for their own gain. Pelosi needs to understand that arresting people, breaking the law, is not kidnapping. And unmarked cars are necessary so as not to alert the rioters of the police presence. The federal law enforcement agents largely are members of units within Border Patrol who are given jurisdictions within 100 miles of any border or ocean. In the case of Portland, the Pacific Ocean. They all fall under the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security. Historically, federal agencies have been employed to carry out laws that the state is unable or unwilling to carry out. The anarchist destruction of American cities under the watch of cowardly or complicit elected leaders cannot be allowed to continue. Such a condition tears at the fabric of a community and shatters the rule of law. Portland requires a federal response if it is to be restored as a civilized city and not a continual cauldron of anarchy. The people destroying Portland are not protesters. That is a ruse. They are violent anarchists who are wreaking havoc upon that city every night and have done so for about 3 months. They are being paid. It's their job. All residents of the United States have the right to assemble and protest, but nobody has the right to victimize innocent people during a protest. Not ever. Protest is a riot. Mayhem is not. Violent mayhem is never justified. It must always be stopped, and it must always be severely punished. Civilization depends on the elimination of deadly pandemonium. Shop owners have lives, just as George Floyd did. Store owners have families to feed. Their customers may desperately need the wares or food they sell, not for luxuries, but for the essentials of life. Rioters who victimize these innocents do not honor Floyd. They dishonor his memory. I'm reminded of a weeping black woman who saw their local grocery stores burn to the ground and had no means of transportation to get to the outlying stores. Did the Black Lives Matter protesters consider them as they lit the stores on fire? Rarely in recent years has the ground been more fertile to grow coalitions against racism and police brutality. Riots poison that ground. Martin Luther King Jr. deservedly won hearts and minds because he led a dignified, peaceful protest. He catalyzed real change. The rioters, though, catalyzed only disgust and anger. They hurt their own purported cause. Granted, nobody can be faulted for initially attending a protest that bad actors then turned into a riot. But once the protest becomes lawless, however you feel, citizens have a duty, an absolute duty, to disperse. Anyone who remains as part of the mob after lawlessness and violence starts has chosen their own lot. If tear gas or rubber bullets come as the only way to protect the innocent, the mob participant has chosen it and earned it. Like their predecessors in the Weather Underground and Red Army faction, Antifa will continue to escalate its behavior until it is finally checked. There will be more attacks. Rioting techniques will continue to grow in capability and in sophistication. Their numbers will grow, and there will be more autonomous zones for increased periods of time, and more Americans of all political persuasions will be terrorized. The time to end this foolishness is over. Thank you for listening today. I hope you'll speak up. I hope you'll talk to your representatives. And if you have one of these liberal nutcases running your city, vote them out. But don't just vote them out. Drive them out by getting other people to vote with you. I'll be back again next week, this coming weekend, God willing. Same time, same station. This is Tom Joyner, and God bless America.